Vous êtes avec SBS French. Retrouvez les rubriques sur sbs.com.au/french.
My guest is Dr. Lisa Glad, Assistant Director of the Art Gallery of South Australia, and we're talking today about Taranti, an annual celebration of contemporary Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander art. This year, for their first international offering, Kulata Juta, a major exhibition of new works by 34 artists from Anangu, Pijanjara, Yakujara land in Central Australia, will be touring France this month. Now, welcome to SBS Radio, Dr. Lisa Glad.
Thank you so much, Bertrand. We are really excited about this project. It, as you said, it's called Kulata Juta. And in the Yankunjara and Pijanjara languages, Kulata Juta means many spears. And it's really part of an ongoing project that began around 10 years ago, when the senior men in the APY lands started to teach the younger men the skills and traditions of spear making. Now, they were teaching technical skills, but at the same time, cultural and conceptual skills that have led to a series of really major projects. And now, for the first time, Tarnandi will be taking part of the Kulata Juta project to Europe, and specifically to Brittany in France.
This is a collaboration between the South Australian government and your museum, as well as the Brittany region in France. How did this collaboration come about, and why specifically Brittany and not Côte d'Ion or Île-de-France or any other part of France? Why specifically there?
Last year, in 2019, the president of the Breton region, he came to the Art Gallery of South Australia in Adelaide, and he walked into the gallery. He was obviously hosted by the South Australian government and by our Premier, Stephen Marshall, and he walked into the gallery, and the first thing he encountered was a major painting by a family of women. It's a painting that's called Kanguru Kanguruku, which means a sister's story. And it's a classic animal painting in that it draws on these incredible traditions of deeply understanding country and culture. I talk about it as pyrotechnics in paint. It's one of those beautifully vivid paintings. And his jaw dropped. He saw this painting, and I think in that very moment he thought, we should do something culturally and artistically together. Now, the Anangu, Pijanjara, Yankunjara lands are in the northwestern corner of South Australia. And based in Adelaide, there is a collective that represents all of those regions. So we've worked really closely with the South Australian government and with the collective to put together an exhibition in COVID times for Brittany. There's a sister region relationship between South Australia and the region of Brittany. So it makes good sense from a lot of perspectives. We were initially hoping to travel a major installation of 550 kulata, or spears, that are represented in this incredible constellation. But because we were unable to travel with the work, to install the work in the Musée des Beaux-Arts in Rennes, we have instead very quickly pivoted, and there'll be works by 34 Anangu artists, so 34 artists living across the APY lands, brand new work that's been made over the last 12 to 24 months going, well, actually, it's there right now. It's being installed as we speak in Brittany.
So, and it will be opening, I guess, next week. It'll be curated next week.
Yeah, it opens very serendipitously. It opens on the same day that we open Tarnandi here in Adelaide. So Tarnandi Open Hands will open at the Art Gallery of South Australia on the 16th of October. And at the same time, Kulata Juta, as an international aspect of Tarnandi, will be opening at the Musée des Beaux-Arts in Rennes. Both exhibitions are supported by a whole host of public programs and certainly publications. We've been able to achieve what I think, Bertrand, might be a world first. We have a book that accompanies the Kulata Juta exhibition, which captures all of the artists. And it's actually, a part of the book is in four languages. So it's in Pijanjara, it's in French, it's in English, and it's also a section of the book, a really important glossary, is actually in Breton. There's a language revival happening in Brittany, which is around ancient languages, and Breton is being spoken more now than it has been for many years. And I would argue that in Australia, we're in a very similar place where Aboriginal languages are being spoken more now than they have for some time. Binjara is a very alive Aboriginal language. It probably has the largest number of living speakers. So it's so wonderful to bring these two ancient living languages, Binjara and Breton, together, as well as obviously English and French.
Yeah, and this comes serendipitously at the end of, because last year was the year of Indigenous languages, and this just comes at the heels of this international celebration and revival of Indigenous languages, who we know the majority of them are actually declining or even disappearing in this growing movement to revive them. And Brittany has also a very strong sense of cultural identity in France. They're considered as one of the very strong ancestral components of the French Republic. Now, going back to the exhibition, the Culata Juta, which means the determination of Anangu artists to defend their culture, land, and language. Can you tell us a bit about some of the artists who are exhibiting and the meaning of their artwork?
One of the artists in the exhibition is an artist called Robert Fielding, who works across many different media. Robert is from the community of Mimili, and he works with his community and with his family members to really instill this incredible kind of belief in and need to protect culture. So he has taken a series of kulara and other weapons as well. So weapons like the miru or the wumara, probably best known as the wumara, the spear thrower, as well as the spears, as well as spindles and other objects. And he's exhibiting those. They're made from, some are made from timber, from punu or wood. Others are actually cast in bronze. So he's taken this kind of tradition of these objects of warfare and protection and cultural continuity and translated them into this statement of contemporary art. So Robert's work will be there as part of the exhibition alongside a suite of unbelievably vibrant paintings. Many of the paintings, there's a senior man, Mr. Mick Wickelieri, and Mick's paintings are about the importance of kulara in keeping culture safe and strong. And his paintings include this very beautiful kind of swathe of kulara that run up along the painting. Some of the paintings by the women artists relate to important stories, particularly the story of the Seven Sisters or the Kungurankupa, and that is depicted in all of its pyrotechnics in paint, these incredibly vibrant canvases. We've heard from our colleagues at the Musée des Beaux-Arts in Brittany that it's the most beautiful exhibition they've ever seen. Behind the beauty, there's, of course, this political commitment. I mean, these works are more than beautiful objects. They're passionate protectors of culture and country. You know, I get really emotional thinking about it because, importantly, they're not just about an aesthetic, pleasurable experience. They're actually about communicating the importance of the retention of culture. And interestingly, the APY lands was one of the first areas to be kind of handed back. So in 1981, the South Australian government gave that country back to Anangu. So it has an important place in Australia's political history, a difficult history, let's face it. So Anangu have been, I think, at the forefront, or as they say in military terms, Anangu have been the avant-garde of the fight for country and culture.
In the mainstream, we still have to repeat it and repeat it and reinforce it. The Anangu fight for country is something that is rarely in the spotlight.
I think it's a really important chapter of the frontier wars and the ongoing impacts that colonisation has and have on Aboriginal people. I think what's happening right now in Central Australia, Northern South Australia, is this movement, which is radically political, as well as being a really important art historical moment. And, you know, the recent awarding of some of the, particularly the Archibald Prize in Sydney, but also in effect the Wynne Prize at the Art Gallery of New South Wales, I think attests to a shift in perception and reception that Aboriginal art finally, let's hope, will have a really key place in telling the story of country, and that it won't be one where Aboriginal art is treated differently to or exclusively from the story of art history, but in fact has been catalytic in that history and plays a really dynamic and active role right now in remaking that history. I think the most important paintings are coming out of Aboriginal Australia.
When talking about Indigenous art, especially in the mainstream, and when you go overseas, what we usually see is the dot paintings that characterize or symbolize Indigenous art, and rarely these other art traditions and cultures from other parts of Australia, including the APY lands.
I think you're too far away from the centre, Bertrand. You need to come and give us a visit. Come and pay us a visit when you can, and come to South Australia. And the APY lands, of course, are protected communities, so it's only on special invitation that you can visit. That's one of the reasons that these exhibitions are so important. You know, these exhibitions are about, they're like culata or spears flying through the air to the other side of the world, where people on the other side of the world can see Aboriginal art. And as you say, there are so many misconceptions about Aboriginal art, you know, that it's all dot painting or that it's all so-called traditional. What Aboriginal art does is completely collapse any of those distinctions that we might have in Western art history about tradition or innovation or traditional or contemporary. Both of those things are constantly interacting on each other. One of the reasons that Aboriginal culture is the oldest living culture on the planet is because the art of innovation, the spirit of innovation and ingenuity and creativity has constantly driven change, and that change has constantly embellished traditions. And this project is a really beautiful example. The designs, the images, the iconography, the themes and concepts and colours that are drawn upon are both completely of this time and yet also inscribed deeply in ancient understandings of place.
This is an exhibition that's taking place at a very particular moment in the time of COVID, with the restrictions and all that and everything going virtual. Taranti has been around for many years, but this year is very special. What are the special inclusions in the wake of COVID?
Great question. Taranti is always about the artists first, and of course not being able to bring everybody to Adelaide in the spirit that we usually do has been really challenging for us, because so much of Taranti is about letting the artist's voice shine, letting the artist's voice be heard. So we've been challenged, and you know, I think we've come up with some creative solutions. We will be launching on the 15th of October at 6 p.m. Adelaide time. We'll be launching virtually the exhibition in Adelaide with some references to the French exhibition, and anyone in the world can tune in and see that, both at that time and subsequently. And we've also been working with some incredible Aboriginal filmmakers and Closer Productions based here in Adelaide to make some portraits. So there are a whole lot of video portraits that can be experienced at any time. Normally the world comes to Adelaide for Taranti. We're taking Taranti to the world.
Now, is there anything we haven't covered that you must bring to the attention of our listeners?
The APY Art Centre Collective play an important role in representing all of the art centres, and they've been our partners along with the South Australian Government in this project. And we've worked really closely together, because what's happened during the COVID period is that many of the opportunities that were on the program for the artists this year and even into next year have been postponed or in some instances cancelled. So what's so heartening is that whilst we've been, particularly you in Victoria there in lockdown, art centres remain these incredibly alive, vibrant and economically powerful places in the Arnhem Pinjarra Yankunjarra lands. Artists are making work as we are speaking right here. Artists are calling up country in the work that they're making. So there's this kind of sense to which this period has enabled artists to keep making, Much of the making is led by senior artists, importantly. They play a role as cultural custodians. The younger artists watch what they're doing, learn from what they're doing, and are brought up through culture, through projects like the spear-making cultural maintenance program, but also obviously through painting. Those art centres are such important sites and rarely seen, I think, by broader Australia, which is okay as long as broader Australia understands that that is where culture is kept alive and well and safe, and also where Aboriginal people have a degree of economic autonomy. So they are important wellsprings of creativity and sustainability in Australia right now.
Dr. Lisa Glade, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you, Bertrand.
Vous voulez entendre d'autres rubriques comme celle-ci? Écoutez-les sur Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify ou n'importe où vous obtenez vos podcasts.